time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
You're tuned into Zero Signal, a show about what they won't say and what you're probably already thinking. No fluff, no filters, no bullshit. Let's crack it open.
At this time, I'm going to ask you to fasten your seatbelts.
Welcome back to Zero Signal. Last time we cracked open the frozen vault of Antarctica, Nazi bases, pyramids under the ice, Admiral Byrd's strange expedition that ended with more questions than answers. But here's the thing about Antarctica. The deeper you go, the stranger it gets. This isn't just the coldest, loneliest continent on Earth. It's a stage where politics, science, conspiracy, and evil biblical prophecy all collide. Tonight, we're digging a bit deeper, past the myths you've heard before, into the stories they don't want to ask you about. Because Antarctica isn't just a frozen wasteland. It's a locked vault, and people with the keys aren't telling us what is inside. Let's start with something recent, something with names and dates we all recognize, 2016. Out of nowhere, Antarctica became the world's strangest travel destination. John Kerry, the U.S. Secretary of State, flies down on Election Day. Religious leaders from the Eastern Orthodox Church make pilgrimages. And Buzz Aldrin, at 86 years old, shows up at the South Pole, only to be evacuated for health issues. Before leaving, he supposedly fired off a tweet, "We are all in danger. It is evil itself." Then it disappeared. Officially, it was altitude sickness. Unofficially, that one tweet lit a fire of speculation that they weren't just sightseeing, they were summoned there. Now, Jay, let me ask you this. Why do you think world leaders and even church figures suddenly cared about Antarctica? Do you buy the ideal that they were called down there to see something?
That's a hard question to answer. There's a ton of theories as to why they went down to Antarctica. I think it's pretty bizarre that they decided to go down and make this trip during the election in 2016. So that's when Trump and Hillary were running against each other. It looked like Hillary was going to win, but Trump ended up winning in a pretty big landslide, surprising everybody with the results. I think the official narrative is John Kerry went down there as an observer of climate change. I guess the glaciers were reportedly melting faster than usual. I know there was some Eastern Orthodox Bishop, Pope, not entirely sure what his title was. He went down there, and the official narrative there was that he was going down there to bless the Russian scientists in one of their bases. And then there's some sort of backroom chatter that Obama made the trip. I think it was official that he made a trip to Argentina, but the speculation is that he actually ended up using Argentina as a waypoint to get down to Antarctica. Some of the conspiracy theories are that they found an extraterrestrial craft or an extraterrestrial location, mothership possibly, and they were going down to have a conversation or see what this being had to say. Also, we touched on Base 211, the hidden Nazi bases down in Antarctica. And another theory is that they went down there to see the underground bases. Maybe they weren't populated. Maybe they were just remnants. Maybe they were ruins. But the other theory is that these bases were populated with descendants of the Nazis from 1945-46. The third theory, which if I had to pick a theory that seemed most likely, is that they somehow uncovered some ancient civilizations or possibly remnants of Atlantis. I don't buy the theory that Atlantis is down in Antarctica. I think when you look at and read Plato's books about Atlantis, it just doesn't fit the geographical location. There's people like Graham Hancock and some other scientists who point back to a big event 12,000 years ago where the crust kind of shifted and relocated Antarctica from maybe middle Atlantic all the way down to the South Pole. I think you stretch them there. But if I had to make hide nor hair of this, I would think a bunch of these world leaders, both officially and unofficially, went down there. It was because, in my opinion, that they found some sort of remnants of a old civilization. I think there's a couple other theories, too, I'd like to point out. Another one, which I think is more likely than underground Nazi bases, because I think if those were to have existed, we've known about those since 45. So what's that, going back almost 80 years ago? So why all of a sudden would world leaders want to go down there? At that point, it's old news. The second most likely theory is there's this theory that the elites have built conclaves, underground bases for a potential upcoming world catastrophe. So maybe they are going down there to check those out. And I think probably the least likely one, very similar to the talking to an alien, is that somehow, some way, they somehow awakened an ancient evil or some Nephilim giants, which I think is unlikely, but we live in the world of conspiracy theory, and we enjoy talking about the fantastical and trying to find the truth somewhere in the middle. I think that's a fun one to talk about and dig into a bit.
You know what I find fascinating about it is that post-Nazism, like by the time Nazis were out of the picture, who kept showing up at Antarctica? What we started seeing showing up was the United States and Russia. They were the two big players that were trying to control ground. They were doing discovery there. They kept showing up. And what we're seeing back in 2016 is John Kerry showing up as representation of the United States. And you're seeing the Eastern Orthodox Church, which their version of the Pope sets in Russia. It's another battle of the great powers that are in existence today. They're coming down to this area to exert their control and influence during that time. And I think if we made Indiana Jones today, when Harrison Ford was fighting Nazis, they would probably fight the Russians or the Americans as they're trying to hide the secret chalice or secret cup. They just start just showing up, and they're always in the picture. Why would they come down? Ultimately, we always talk about, like, why are they going to be there? What would get the national attention of folks? You know, I think about it from a human perspective. If we talk about it from a human perspective, it's natural resources. I saw that the treaty where there's no drilling, no land claims, I think it expires in 2048. People are obviously planning out 20, 30, 40 years into the future. They're starting to get into that mode where they're going to stake their claims. They're going to start to drill for natural resources, and they're fighting for it. We see it in today where Trump's trying to make a claim in Ukraine as he negotiates the peace deal between them and Russia to get into that profit sharing and be able to get those natural resources that drive our military and drive all those things. But I think that's only half of it. As you stated in the last time we met together, I think it's a 58 national treaty where it says you won't stake any claim to the ground. What would cause people to change that? It would have to be world-changing, and it would really have to impact the greater society, where ultimately, if you have this great discovery and you have control over this great discovery, you have control over our world environment. And as I'm starting to continue to see those stories where people are disappearing, where they're finding these secret caves. The other day, I just saw about this secret door. I don't know if you ever saw it on Twitter, but if they have this image where you zoom in and there's this door, almost looks like a door and a portal in Antarctica. And people speculate that it's a door into this third dimension that you could walk through. Sometimes when these kind of myths turn into reality, because I know people are fascinated by Antarctica because people aren't prohibited from going there unless they have some type of special connections. But man, there must be something there. It's not just the weather. If they say you can't fly over it, the weather doesn't really matter if you're at 20,000 feet. Like, why can't you fly over it? I just always think it's really interesting that it's prohibited. And there must be something really special down there. And then we connect it back to our Christian beliefs. Why would Christians, and I don't know a ton about the Eastern Orthodox Church, but I know they are like a branch of Christianity. I don't know what their beliefs are, but why would it matter to them? And I always go back to the Nephilim. What are they trying to stop or prevent or see or prepare for as that kind of clock that we have as ticking forward closer to Revelations?
Yeah, I think those are all valid points. I think they're good points. Have you heard of some of these whistleblower stories? I can recap them if you haven't. I think she's an Emmy Pulitzer Prize winning journalist. Her name's Linda Moulton Howe. She does a lot of work with conspiracy and paranormal stuff. I think the majority of her focus is more like UFOs and topics that kind of revolve around aliens and ancient civilizations. But she interviewed a guy, and a lot of these people that she interviews, she grays out their face. She doesn't reveal their identities, and she gives a fake name for it. So you don't have the luxury of being able to vet this person on our end as the watcher to see if their stories are true or not. But she interviewed a guy that they call Brian, probably not even his real first name, but he was a Navy flight engineer, and he was a part of the Antarctica Development Squadron from 1983 to 1987. He made some pretty bold claims. Again, no evidence, just firsthand accounts. According to, he claimed that he saw a silver flying disc over the Trans-Antarctic Mountains, essentially saying he saw UFOs. He flew over the no-fly zone near the South Pole and spotted a huge hole in the ice, large enough to land a 130 aircraft. Now, how deep that hole was, I couldn't really get good information. And I think you briefly talked about this last episode. So he witnessed some scientists leave and disappear for a week. And when they were recovered, they were in a state of shock and refused to speak. The crew was warned in not so uncertain terms that they were never to speak of the episode. I can give you some links to some of the to this story if the viewers want to check it out in the show notes. But that's one of a few stories I found from quote-unquote whistleblowers. And I think we talked about this. I think you briefly mentioned it last episode. But again, another person, Linda Moulton Howe, interviewed. The name given was Spartan One. He was a covert op warfighter. And apparently Linda Moulton Howe vetted all this information. So she's a journalist. She seems legit. Whether or not I believe her conclusions or believe what some of these people are saying is a different story. But she confirmed that he was who he claimed to be. He participated in a classified mission in 2003 near the Beardmore Glacier. They discovered apparently a massive octagonal structure beneath the ice. I think he said it was roughly around 62 acres. So it's not small. That's a pretty big mass there. He said when he entered the interior, it was warm and it was lit by lime green light. And this is why this is triggering me from our last episodes. I remember you saying something about lime green light. But he said the walls were made of like shiny black material. And the walls were all adorned with hieroglyphic, including symbols resembling the Nazi black sun. And if you look at the Nazi black sun, it's a pretty distinct symbol, which on a side note, if you look at the Azov battalion, the Ukrainian battalion that's fighting the Russian Ukraine, part of the backdrop of their badge is the Nazi black sun, which is bizarre to say the least. But he believed, and it was believed that this mass, this building, this craft, whatever, it was built by extraterrestrials, and it was involved in genetically engineering humans. Again, I can link these sources. We probably can go into more detail later in the episode if we have time. It's a pretty interesting interview, and that kind of thumbs that up. And there was another group of whistleblowers who claimed they were insiders, Corey Good and Pete Peterson. Corey Good, he also claims to be part of the 2020 and back program, which I find to be one of the most hard to believe conspiracies. Do you know anything about 20 and back?
I don't.
Okay. So might chop this up a bit, but essentially what 20 and back is a program where they take children, they train them for combat, and they spend years training for missions throughout the solar system and possibly other galaxies. We can dive into that one in another episode because it is wild. But basically, they recruit you as a child, they train you, they send you to Mars, or they send you to another planet within the galaxy that has life, and you essentially try to keep the peace between the humans that are settled there versus the original inhabitants. That story is wild. He claims he's blown his arms off, and they have these miraculous machines that can regenerate your limbs. I don't know if you ever saw, you remember Starship Troopers when like Rico his arms, he got hurt and like he's in this machine and it's just like threading them back together. Yeah. He claims that technology exists. The thing that begs the question is, if you're gone for 20 years, how in the heck are you back here? And everyone knows you. There are people that have interacted with you on a daily basis in the past 20 years. And he's, oh yeah, it's like time manipulation. So you go there, and like you're only gone for a few days in your timeline, but once your service is over, they send you back to when you're a kid. And I'm like, dude, come on, bro.
I don't even buy we've been to the moons.
Yeah.
How can you get that far out?
That's another show. But anyway, so this Corey Good and this Pete Peterson, I don't know a whole lot about Pete Peterson, but they claim to be whistleblowers. These guys allege that in 2016, 2017, they observed a secret base and remains of an ancient civilization beneath the ice. The aliens looked like human-alien hybrids. They had a massive mothership. And again, here's another claim of evidence of genetic experiments. So he said Antarctica serves as an extraterrestrial hub spreading civilization globally. So this kind of points back to the Anunnaki theory, where the Anunnaki came from planet X, they came down to Earth, they wanted to harvest gold, they took monkeys or gorillas and genetically engineered them to turn into us. So again, you have this thread weaving through from that book that was written about the Anunnaki, and this is trying to give that some credence by saying there's a mothership in Antarctica and these aliens are genetically engineering humans to spread civilization, which takes all the focus off Christ, points back to that one world religion where we weren't divinely created by God. Aliens from a distant star system came here and decided that they wanted us as their slave labor to harvest whatever mineral or good that they wanted from here.
It reminds me of, so you've read Revelations before, and Paul's account of Revelations of Jesus' second coming, when he talks about it, he talks about it figuratively. And what a lot of people say, he saw like giants flying scorpions in the sky. And what a lot of modern day people say is that they were probably helicopters.
Yeah.
But I almost wonder that people are observing things in Antarctica and they don't actually know what they're seeing. So they're putting their own context behind it as they observe these things that are transpiring. If we go back to the Nazi era, jet fighter planes, they didn't actually know what they were. They flew super fast, so they probably just called them UFOs. It was an unidentified flying object. They didn't know exactly what it was, and then people ran with that for aliens. But I think there's a real possibility that there's another group of people that are living in Antarctica, and perhaps they are more advanced than modern society. We can take it back to the jungles in South America, the Amazonian jungles, where there's uncontacted tribes that live there today, where we haven't met with them. And we're talking about austere environments, obviously way different than Antarctica, but both are austere environments. And perhaps people have figured out how to survive and advance through time. I think what's more important is, I think Antarctica isn't just about conspiracy theories. Real people have disappeared there. I think about Dennis Tink Bell, a young British meteorologist in 1959. He fell into a crevice in the King George Island and vanished. He was gone within seconds. His body was only found in 2025, thawed out by retreating ice. Or perhaps Carl Dish, an American scientist in 1965. He walked this short path between buildings at the Bird Station, and he just never made it back. He just vanished in the wind. And then there was Rodney Marks, an Australian astrophysicist who dropped dead on the South Pole in 2000. You know what his cause of death was? It was methanol poisoning. Scientists dying by methanol poisoning. How it happened, no one knows. But what is more important, these are facts. These are not myths. These are facts. These are men who gave their lives at the edge of the world, and their stories are why Antarctica still feels haunted today. But I think to put that in context, we're talking about a place where relatively few people live, even if it's for a short time as they transverse back to America, whatever country they originated from, a very small community. Could you imagine like Moscow, Ohio, that has a population of 150 people, if all of a sudden within 5 years, 30, 40 people went missing and were later recovered dead or something awful happened to them? How crazy is that?
Yeah. You know, so let's get a little fantastical here. So I think we may have covered this before, but say you are an alien and you want to come to Earth. Like, where are you going to put your base? You're going to put it under the ocean or you're going to put it on a frozen wasteland where nobody can really go? So I think that's why some of these theories can become so enmeshed into our culture or the conspiracy theory culture, because like you said, you can't go there without permission. You can't freely travel. You can't fly over it. And then you look at the satellite images and a lot of it's blacked out. I can zoom in on my house from Google Maps, but you're blacking out parts of a like frozen wasteland. I feel counterclaim to that is that it costs too much money. Google makes $1 trillion a year. A couple $100,000 to render images is like me and you spending a dollar. It doesn't lend a lot of credence to that argument. But I just go back to the thing. If I'm an alien and I want to park my massive mothership, parking it under the ocean where nobody can see me, or I'm parking it on a frozen wasteland where nobody can go. And if humans do show up, it's going to be very difficult for a lot of them to get there because this is going to be so cumbersome and dangerous to your physical body to get there.
It reminds me, if there was a different society that was living there, and perhaps they were 30, 40 years more advanced than us, we're talking about going to Mars now. A place that's austere, where there's no oxygen, where you have to live within a bubble, where you can't grow food, where it's either cold and maybe hot, I'm not sure, but it looks like a desert when we see the photos. But I think that might be a reality in 20, 30, 40 years when my son grows up to be a man. And perhaps there's a society there that's just a little bit more advanced than us.
Have you ever seen the movie Titan? Maybe. Just a give you a spoiler if you haven't seen it, but it's about a program that genetically engineers humans so they can live on other planets and settle them. It's a mix of sci-fi and horror because at the end it gets a little wild. Also, if you're doing genetic experiments outside of the fantastical alien narrative I just spewed out, if you're doing experiments on people, you're going to want to do it far away. And again, we're touching on the fantastical. So say how many hundreds of thousands of people a year go missing without a trace? What's to say you just don't snatch them up, bring them down to Antarctica, genetically test them, out of sight, out of mind. There's no satellite imagery. You couldn't pinpoint anything. But there's enough quote unquote whistleblower accounts suggesting that there are underground bases. There are just research facilities down there. And honestly, the more I think about the topic, the more I think it makes sense that there are bases underground. And if you're going to do some nefarious stuff, you want to be as far away from civilization as you can. Because, like, in their minds, Lord forbid, if you escape, where are you going to go? You're just going to freeze out in the middle of the Antarctic wasteland.
It's like Alcatraz.
Oh, like the ultimate Alcatraz. The only thing worse would be a platform in the middle of the ocean. The platform in the middle of the ocean would probably be better. I don't know. I guess it's been at that point.
I would take my chances of drowning versus freezing to death in minus 70.
Yeah, true. That would be painful until your body shut down.
You know, what I always think about with these conspiracy theories is if any of them were true, like, why does the governments, and I'm not talking about the American government because they probably have their reasons, but the governments of the world, because these aren't just rumors that originate in the United States, like, why aren't they telling people? Why aren't there's so many whistleblowers, there's so many, like, leaky ships within government agencies. We think of Snowden and told that people were eavesdropping on cell phones and he fled to Russia. What's the benefit, like, the global benefit? Everybody's same page, same stamp, that we're not going to tell anybody about what's going on down here. I can't explain that.
Yeah, regardless of how we see the world, the ultimate goal is a one world government. But in my mind, you have certain power players jockeying for position in order to get that top dog seat. You're not sharing your science, you're not sharing your technology for the most part, especially the stuff that's decades more advanced than what we have now. You might share the stuff that's modern, you might share your AI, you might share your semiconductors or your chips. But I think the ultimate goal too is that with the final outcome being a one world government and one world order, I still think big countries like China, the US, Russia to a certain extent, the European Union to a certain extent, they still want to wield the most power. So that's why I think so much stuff is still hidden from us, because it's a race. It's a race that to wield the most power. So you're the shot caller when the time to unify comes along.
You think of these presidents, like President Trump, when he first got back into office, he was like, I'm going to tell you about the JFK assassinations, because there's so many conspiracies about how JFK was murdered. I don't know. It seems like somebody would talk about it. But yeah, there's so many people that are talking about it. And there's what really boggles my mind as we go back to when we first started talking about this topic is essentially a pope traveling Antarctica. There's no reason why a pope of the Eastern Orthodox Church would go visit Antarctica. At least I can think of one. Obviously, as Christians, we're called to care for the world, but we also have dominion over the world as well. God has given us that. So I can't think of a reason why. There's no souls to be saved down there. Why are we traveling there?
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's not like it makes sense if you're traveling to Australia. It makes sense if you're traveling to South Africa. It's not exactly on your side of the block, but see why a pope would go to something that had a rather big population with established churches. It doesn't make a lot of sense for him to go down to Antarctica where there's seven Russian scientists. It's a little bizarre. To get back with back to this John Kerry thing, I found it interesting. So John Kerry visited Antarctica on Election Day, and the conspiracy theory is that it was seen as a handover of global secrets to his handlers. Again, fantastical, fun to think about. And Buzz Aldrin went down there and sent that cryptic text saying, you may remember it verbatim, but essentially said, there's nothing but evil here, or something in that context. And the theory is that he was exposed to some sort of alien artifacts or this pyramid structure, and it triggered whatever symptomatic physical symptoms he was experiencing. And I think the Pope's name was Kiro, and some people interpret that trip as like a spiritual negotiation with otherworldly entities, trying to negotiate the release of the hollow earth theories and the advanced civilizations, claiming that it would up the apple cart of our religions and of our archaeological understanding of our planet.
One of the things I think about, and I think this is where it takes a dark turn. We know the Nazis sent expeditions to Antarctica in the 90s, but some say they weren't after whale oil or maps or territory. They were really chasing power, and they weren't alone. Groups like the Thule Society and the Thule Society were really whispering in their ears during this time. The Thule believed in Hyperborea, really a lost homeland, maybe hidden at the poles, home of this pure race. And the Viril Society claimed a hidden life force energy called Viril could give them superhuman powers, perhaps even like flight. Mediums in the group claimed to channel messages from advanced beings beneath the earth. Imagine Hitler, obsessed with the occult, hearing that Antarctica could be a gateway to the lost power. And that's the theory, that Nazi bases were less military outposts and more occult kind of treasure hunts. Think back to the Indiana Jones. And I almost wonder, like, we have these competing societies, we have the Nazi regime going down there and like setting up shop. And they obviously got there and they're setting up shop. And who remained behind? And as I start to breadcrumb those trails back together, it's almost like people were down there. And that would be a really good reason to send a pope to talk to these people that are very demonic at this point. Like, they don't believe in all, they don't want to save everybody. They only want to save the white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed folks at that point in time. And you can imagine the demonic manipulation that's occurring. And perhaps maybe a society figured out how to live there. And this pope wanted to travel down there. And now we're talking about a soul-saving mission. So do you think the Nazis really believed in Antarctica was really this doorway to hidden power? Or perhaps maybe it's just like a myth.
Man, what I think is, so Hitler was so hungry for these artifacts. And I think when you're a megalomaniac and you're smoking meth all day and you start to become unhinged, you can read a lot between the lines, especially if you're being talked to by mediums and these kind of occult esoteric societies like the Vril. I think you can really lose your way. If you're not rooted in Christ and your discernment is out the door, you're going to start drawing a lot of conclusions that are just based on that information. So it would not surprise me, in his lust for these artifacts, that someone said, oh yeah, there's that massive continent down there that nobody's really ever been to other than a handful of explorers. I got this message from whatever spirit, or this ancient text talks about a lost land where there's a lost ancient civilization. You need to send someone down there to suss it out. And I just think with the drug use and the high stress of bringing a country together and just this desire for ultimate power and world domination, he's grasping at anything he can get his hands on. I do think that there's probably something down there that's ancient and buried, or at least there's remnants of. I think that due to my biblical lens, I think it was a pre-flood civilization that got destroyed, and after the flood, it just froze over. So this, I think that there's a good likelihood that there is buried ruins. And so that's where I sit with this whole
thing. That's what they talk a lot about. That's what a lot of people call Antarctica. Maybe perhaps it was the former Atlantis. That was a super society that perhaps was run by the Nephilim. They set up shop there. And because it's where it's located, and if we go back to the Pangaea, if you're one of those believers that believe the entire continents were united pre-flood. A lot of people think that this is kind of where it was located. But it was like when the world started breaking apart and the Noah flood came and we killed off humanity, God caused perhaps a major earthquake that separated the continents. And like the fall of the Tower of Babel, where folks turned to salt, they scattered them all across the world. And because of its location near the Ring of Fire, where they have large earthquakes and different things as they're separating the continents, and perhaps it just floated up or down and it got froze out. And I think one of the things that's super fascinating to me, I think if we go back to the dawn of time, and if you're a part of that Protestant, like Christian narrative, you think the world's only, 4,000 years? And you wonder, if you think about God's original design of Garden of Eden, it was, at least when I think about it, and I'm not super knowledgeable about this, but I think of a warm, like subtropical environment with like beautiful oceans and beautiful gardens and trees and stuff. And if this area moves towards a frozen spot in the world where it freezes, obviously things can't survive. So it's part of God's original design when the flooding, what's hidden beneath? And we talked about that a little bit. If you scrape away all the ice, like what's actually going to be there? Maybe not aliens, maybe not Nephophilia, maybe not all these things we're talking about, but there should be some interesting, like you're getting closer to what God designed for our lives and what he designed for this world pre-sin.
Yeah, I want to circle back to that Pope Kirill. Kiro, or however you say his name. Another theory is, so you've heard of CERN. It's like the Large Hadron Collider. The other kind of weird thing is that they're building these colliders all over the place now. I think there's one out in Tennessee, and a lot of people, and again, I think CERN is going to have to be its own episode. But essentially, the mainstream narrative on CERN is that it shoots particles around this big ring. Some of them are miles long, and they shoot them until they collide. And when they collide, they essentially blow up, and there's smaller particles that they can detect. But the conspiracy is that these colliders, CERN, is opening portals. And one of the theories with Kirill is that when they activated CERN, that it ended up releasing entities. And there's claims that the whole purpose of CERN is to release the angels that are bound in the pit and to have them come back out and which in Revelations it talks about, as far as I can recollect, it talks about these angels being released. It says when the Euphrates River dries up, these angels will be released from the bottomless pit. So the theory is that Kirill went down there to do a blessing to seal Lucifer and the giants found in the chambers so they couldn't get out. Again, fantastical. I don't know how a pope has the authority to seal the devil and giants and demons. It's a God thing. That's not a man thing. But that was another rather sci-fi-ish theory that they came up with.
Yeah, we talk about CERN and it reminds me of HARP, right, in Alaska. Some believe that HARP is like this weather control weapon capable of steering hurricanes or triggering earthquakes. I think others say it can control human minds, broadcasting frequencies across the globe. And scientists insist it's harmless. But the secrecy of whether we're talking about HARP or CERN is, I think, just the sheer scale of the project make people wonder, is there more to this?
The reason I don't think Antarctica is Atlantis, because Plato wrote about it, I think he wrote it about 350 BC, 360 BC, and the way he describes Atlantis and how it was destroyed, it was destroyed in a day and night. So it's a city that's surrounded by rings of islands that had cities and towns on it. And he claimed to have gotten this story from some Egyptian guy, and the Egyptians were known for keeping meticulous records. So he wrote this story second or third hand off of talking to this Egyptian priest or scholar. And essentially it says that that Atlantis was in the Atlantic, past the Pillars of Gibraltar, which is where the Horn of Africa and Spain, Portugal meet. I think if Atlantis did exist, it existed somewhere between North America and Europe. It wouldn't make a lot of sense for it to be down that far south in my book. But I also believe that if it did exist, it was probably a pre-flood civilization and it was just completely wiped out. And that story got passed down from one of Noah's sons. If we want to throw around the theory that Antarctica was at one point outside of the Strait of Gibraltar, a fellow by the name of Charles Hapgood came up with a theory of crustal displacement theory, and it's not really supported by mainstream geology, but essentially what his theory suggested is the Earth's crust moves slowly via plate tectonics. There can be sudden shifts, and I haven't looked at a plate tectonic map in like middle school. I'm not even sure that would make geologic sense for the island of Atlantis to shift so like thousands and thousands of miles south. mouth. And if it did happen, it would have been so catastrophic for the world that you would just have coastal flooding. It'd probably wipe out 95% of mankind. But I guess you could point that back to pre-flood civilization. When the flood happened, like the crust opened up, maybe it did shift south and everyone in the world died except for Noah and his family. The interesting thing about it is that I think Albert Einstein wrote either like a prologue or an epilogue to his book supporting the theory, which is pretty interesting that you have probably arguably one of the most famous scientists in the world jumping on this guy's theory of crustal displacement.
In the Bible, they do say that the floods burst forth through below and above. So its potential, it buys into the Noah narrative of the end of the world. And that was a cataclysmic event. Everybody died, but Noah and his family.
Yeah, and his theory is that there was this massive crustal displacement like 10 to 12,000 years ago. And depending on how you view the biblical timeline, that could put that right around when the flood happened, give or take a couple thousand years. But one of his was the Perry Reese map. Back in 1513, we talked a little bit about the Perry Reese map, where the sailor charted the coast of Antarctica and he drew it with trees and vegetation.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that. During that time, I think it's really interesting because you had to know that Antarctica existed, but do you think they actually saw it?
Do I think the guy who made the Perry Reese map saw it?
Yeah.
Man, that's tough. You're going back 500 plus years.
Yeah.
And I think well-versed sailors and explorers knew that there was something down there. I also think it was probably very easy to get lost. Was he charting the coast of Australia, New Zealand? Was he charting the southern tip of South America, the southern tip of Africa? I would think if you're this explorer, have at least a relative position where you might be in the world, probably off by 500, 600, 700 miles.
Yeah.
So I lean toward the theory that he knew it was there. He thought he found it. He drew the map, but he was actually not where he thought he was.
It reminds me of Christopher Columbus, right? On his destination to discover North America, and he gets lost somewhere down in South America on the way. Even to this day, Antarctica isn't owned by anyone. That wasn't always the plan. In the early 1900s, Britain, France, Chile, Argentina, Norway, Australia, and New Zealand really all planted their flags on slices of that continent. Their claims overlapped, especially in the Antarctic Peninsula, really fueling these outrageous disputes. Then come the U.S. and Soviet Union that never claimed land, but they kept the right to do. They weren't going to say, I'm not going to claim it today, but maybe one day we'll call it home as part of our map. I think it's really a quiet threat that they could step on at any time. Then came 1959, the Antarctica Treaty froze all claims. No new ownership, no mining, no militarization, just science. And that's the official story. But here's the question. Why would rival nations who fight over everything else suddenly agree to just share this giant continent, the last great frontier that we really haven't even discovered yet? And I think a lot of people argue it wasn't about peace that kept them quiet. It was about fear. Fear of what was actually underneath that ice. And I wonder, why do you think so many of these powerful nations really agreed to stop fighting over this continent? Was it really about peace and science? Or perhaps was there something down there that just they didn't want us to see?
Yeah, Dave, man, that question, I struggle with it, man. I think there's so many interesting circumstances, so many caveats. For me to draw a conclusion at this point, halfway through our exploration of the subject, I'm not sure I have a solid opinion yet, but I'd love to hear yours.
It's a tough question, man. I didn't set you up with an easy one. You know what? I think when we go back to it, when we think about Christopher Columbus, we think about Magellan, we live in a society, even today, where we're planting a flag. We see Russia and Ukraine fighting over territory. Somebody wants to call it their home, and it may not be worth anything to them, but they want to expand their boundaries. They want to expand their map. And when we think about Antarctica, when it was discovered, at least when the power players were down there, the United States, we talk about Russia, we talk about the Nazi regime, we talk about people who had enough money to get down there and start exploring this unknown continent at the bottom of the world. Man, when they got there, they were just like, this wasn't what we were expecting. We were hoping to find farmland. You think about the Vikings as they sailed across the Great Expanse and they discovered Greenland and perhaps even gotten up into the upper portion of North America where they went to Minneapolis. They were looking for farmland. They were looking for places they could plant their flags, build their homes, and survive in relative ease with rich soil. And you get to Antarctica and it's a land of ice and perhaps fire, because generally when you find ice, you find the opposite of ice. And I wonder if they saw this frozen wasteland, and as they're obviously getting towards the show, they're dodging these large icebergs as they snake their way across, and they say, it's not really worth fighting over. Like, it's inhospitable. And I wonder, they got there, and I think Christianity was probably more important to people back in the day than it even is now, because they were closer to it. They were closer to the Jesus times, that they saw it and were like, perhaps this is closest, maybe perhaps the closest we're ever going to get to the Garden of Eden and to that pure soil that God created. And perhaps humanity is more important than nations. We can't build here. You won't survive. You can't build a culture. You can't build banks. You can't build grocery stores. You can't build homes. You can't build farms. You can't raise cattle. So perhaps it's better for a testbed mission versus a society. But with all things, and with time, and with money, and with globalization, those things change. And I think as we get closer to 2048, when the national treaty is set to expire, especially if they don't renew it, I wonder who's going to plant their flag. Because that we're talking about it. Even if you don't live there, if you can just control it, or you can mine for resources, can you think of like a nation like Denmark that says, oh, this is all mine? You might be really powerful, at least from size. You go from being tiny little Denmark to about as big as Russia overnight. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Can we circle back to the whole Atlantis theory quick? So have you ever heard of Graham Hancock? He's one of these guys. Like, I think he gained popularity, at least mainstream popularity, from like the Joe Rogan Experience. He's the guy who wrote The Fingerprint of the Gods back in 96. And he wrote Magicians of the Gods in 2015. He suggests Antarctica was home for a lost advanced civilization. So it's interesting that this topic has come up so recently in the conspiracy circles. And I think a lot of the genesis of that, it comes from Graham Hancock. He surmised that there was a global cataclysm called the Younger Dryas event, and that happened around 12,000 years ago, which kind of lines up with Plato's story of Atlantis. So his theory of the Younger Dryas event is within 1,000 years of when Plato suggested that Atlantis vanished. Graham Hancock suggests that that Antarctica was ice-free and or partially ice-free during the last glacial maximum, which was about 12,000 years ago, like I said, allowing a sophisticated culture to thrive. He cites myths of the ancient world, which I don't think the flood is a myth, but a lot of cultures have this flood story within their sacred texts, their oral histories. And he cites that as evidence of a lost civilization that was passed on to later cultures like the Egyptians. So he builds a lot of his theories of his catastrophic event, lines it up with the time Plato said that Atlantis was destroyed. Critique is that Hancock's kind of, he relies and reinterpretations of this myth, and he's trying to force it. He likes to talk about Göbekli Tepe, and he uses that as a support of lost ancient civilizations.
It's an interesting theory. All that really makes me think about the dawn of time. And let's go from politics and history to, I think, one of Antarctica's strangest natural wonders, Blood Falls. Discovered in 1911, it's a glacier that bleeds, like literally bleeds. A crimson red river oozing out of Taylor Glacier, staining the ice bright red for decades. No one really knew why. Some said algae, others whispered supernatural events. Today, scientists say it's iron-rich, salty water rusting as it hits the air. But here's what really makes it mysterious. That water has been sealed under the ice for millions of years, according to scientists, untouched, and yet life survives down there. Microbes thriving in total darkness, cut off from the world above. To scientists, it's a clue about extramophiles. To conspiracy theories, it's a leak. A wound in the ice, bleeding out secrets from the deep below. And biblically, blood and water is never random. Exodus and the Nile turned to blood as a sign of judgment. In Revelations, waters turned to blood in the last days. I think blood falls. It could just be science, or it could be a reminder that creation itself still cries out in blood red warning. Do you think blood falls is just this weird, quirky geology, or could it be a biblical sign? Really, nature is echoing judgment at the ends of the earth.
I know we were talking in the pre-show a little bit about it. I haven't really looked into it. And I think I saw something years ago about the blood falls. I think it's just a natural phenomenon, if I'm not mistaken. I don't, again, but I don't know a whole lot about it.
It depends who you believe. Water turns red blood in oceans and different things at times in history, and rivers and everything else. So it depends who you believe, why it's turning red. But I find it hard to believe that algae and different things are going to survive in this giant iceberg and just pour out this blood during that time. I more think it's an omen that perhaps as we tick closer to the end of the world, that these icebergs melt, and perhaps maybe that's the blood that stains the Nile River red.
Yeah,
sign of the end of times.
Yeah, the only thing I can find on it with a quick search is that it looks like it's an outflow of iron deposits, which I know iron can color. You can see it in your water if you have bad pipes. Yeah, so right. I think it's just a natural phenomenon. But like you said, it's fun to think about the fantastical, but I just think it's a natural phenomenon. I know Antarctica has a bunch of resources, and a lot of it has been untapped, or most of it, if not all of it, has been untapped, and I think it's just a byproduct of a geologic phenomenon. But have you heard of it? So I want to get into this topic, because this gets crazy too. Have you heard about the cryptids in Antarctica?
I haven't.
No. Oh my gosh, bro. You're going to love this. This is up our alley. A fellow by the name of Eric Hecker. He's a former Navy serviceman and Raytheon contractor. He worked in one of the bases down there in the South Pole Station in 2010 and 2011. He claims he had observed advanced technologies, including directed energy weapons and faster-than-light communication systems. I actually listened to an interesting podcast on this one, and I think this can be an episode in and of itself, but I'd just like to touch on it. He alleges involvement in government programs such as the Stargate Project, MKUltra, during his youth, which he believes influenced his later career and perspective. This is the part that I think when we vet some of these quote-unquote whistleblowers, you try to vet their background and what they've done in their life. But he's actually testified before Congress, sharing his experience and raising concerns about the undisclosed technologies and their potential implications, which is pretty interesting. Yeah, so I want to touch on some of the cryptid legends out there. So you ever hear of the Nijin?
I haven't, no.
Yeah, so it means a human in Japanese. The story originates from Japanese whale research crews and internet forums in the mid-2000s. Crews reported seeing an enormous humanoid creature in the Antarctic waters. The description is typically described as a gigantic humanoid ranging from 20 to 30 meters, which is huge, 60 to almost 100 feet long. It features smooth, pale, bluish-white skin, human-like arms, and sometimes with fingers or hands. Often described as having a human-like face, though distorted or featureless. Some sightings include a tail or fin, suggesting an aquatic adaptation. It reminds me of a giant mermaid. It's said to swim near the surface in groups. They seem to be mostly peaceful, but some stories suggest that there's some predatory behavior. Sightings are often fleeting, glimpsing through fog or ice, making verification very difficult. There's no verified photos or physical evidence that they exist. These reports are primarily coming from Japanese research teams, fishermen, or obviously the online post. Some blurry images do exist. They claim to show a creature that you can't really see, and it could be any sort of marine aquatic life. Some suggest that these creatures are believed to inhabit the icy kind of remote waterways around the continent where human presence is minimal. Yeah, but there was a story about scientists running across, and I wish I could find it because it's here somewhere, about scientists and I think marine or some sort of armed forces group running across a bunch of Iraq type creatures where they had to fight their way out of wherever they were to get back to their base. And apparently these sort of arachnid type beings, creatures, whatever you want to say, they killed some of these people. It would be an amazing story if I could find it and talk about it.
The cryptid stories you were telling me really reminds me of the mermaids, and every society and culture has some type of version of that it's half woman, half fish that are swimming near the surface. I remember visiting Denmark with my wife when she was down there for one of her lawyer trips, and I saw this little like statue of a mermaid on the rocks that was out in the ocean. It was actually very popular. It was inspired like the mermaid, what was it called? The Lady and the Mermaid or something in the Disney cartoon. But it was actually really disappointing. This statue was like 4 feet tall. Like it was tiny on these rocks outside. But I feel like every society, and I don't know why, has some version of the mermaid mermaid, just much like the Kraken. Everybody has some version of the Kraken story out there, and people talk about this type of Kraken beast in the water. I don't know if it's just old sailor wise tales or what. And I also find it funny that a lot of sailors, at least back in the day, were men. These versions of the stories were always half women, half fish. I'm not sure which one you'd want to be which, but that's the story they told.
Yeah, weren't the sirens in some of the Greek epics, weren't they like merwomen? And they would sing out to the sailors and they'd jump overboard and they end up drowning or getting killed by those creatures. It's an interesting thread through like culture and especially ancient culture.
I think a better what is called a scurvy. The sirens and the mermaids, they make me think of body of waters. And then there's Lake Vostok. So Antarctica is really the greatest secret. As scientists say, it's buried under 2 miles of ice, sealed away for 15 to 20 million years. Don't believe that, but that's what they say. No sunlight, no contact with the surface, just a hidden ocean under the ice. In 2012, Russians, here they are back again in the narrative, finally drilled through the ice down to Lake Vostok. When the borehole opened, the lake water surged upward and froze, locking in whatever secrets were there. When the samples were tested, they found DNA, some bacterial, some microbial, some that didn't match anything known, unknown life. I think skeptics call it contamination, but others really whisper about cover-ups, researchers falling ill, and Russians keeping tight control over the data. I think why it matters. If life exists in Lake Vostok, it really proves that life can exist in conditions we thought were impossible, maybe even on other worlds. And biblically, Genesis speaks of the fountains of the great deep bursting forth of the flood. Some Christians believe that lakes like Lake Vostok could be remnants of those waters, frozen since Noah's days, carrying remnants of the pre-flood world. And if that's true, then drilling Lake Vostok isn't just about science. It's trespassing on the ruins of God's judgment. Now, hearing all this, and I don't think you had a lot of background on Lake Vostok until we start talking about it. What do you think? Is Lake Vostok just a scientific curiosity or perhaps a vault, a remnant of the flood, hiding life and history we're not really supposed to uncover?
Yeah, I don't know if we're not supposed to uncover it. I think any sort of geological type phenomenon, when it's frozen and it's under meters or miles of ice, you're gonna have evidence of the life that existed way back when. I also know that they discovered a 60-million-year-old fossilized, and it appears to be reptilian. I think they said it was an egg from an ancient dinosaur. And yeah, it's just like the ultimate time capsule. It's like the ultimate Earth time capsule. It's frozen. You dig it up, you can see what was hanging around back then. But I don't think it's necessarily forbidden. Just honestly think that there's pre-flood civilization remnants, and that's what my brain keeps pointing back to, man. I think there's ancient ruins from thousands and thousands of years ago that are untouched, and it's probably super cool to look at. And I think that's why a lot of these people go down there. And I think, to get back to your original question, I think the reason it's off limits is because the world wants to preserve it and check it out for themselves without somebody coming in and drilling and hacking and destroying it.
Yeah, Jay, what I think is fascinating is that the Russians, again, on the picture, like the new Nazi regime, not saying they're bad as the Nazis, but they're showing up. They're the bad guys in this story. And they drill down into this water, and the water like shoots up out of the lake. But by the time it gets to the surface, it freezes again. And they say the water below this ice capsule, it's not frozen because of geothermal activity. So it's hot enough below, but not hot enough above. So when it shot through this hole that they drilled down in the ice, it froze and it became this kind of like ice core. And then they pulled this ice core out and they analyzed it. When they analyzed this core, obviously they found the DNA activity that never seen before, the microbial activity that's never seen before. And that's the end of the story. They're like, and the only other explanation that they proffered during that time was, yeah, we saw all these things, but we actually think it was just contamination from our equipment, from the kerosene that we used to drill the hole. And they try to cover it up, and they actually never talked about it again. And we're going back to these like things where people are seeing these really cool things in Antarctica. And then all of a sudden it's just, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. No, it's just contamination. No, there's no ice caves. It's just your mind plays tricks on you. You see a door, you see an entrance to a cavern, and you know, it's not really there. Like, push that out of your mind. It's not really there. It's just what you assume is there because you see the pictures. And that's what I find weird. We have these really smart people down there that are scientists dying of methanol poisoning. We, you know, we see these doors that look like doors that we're used to seeing. We have these expert testimony that go down in these caverns and no, it's all fake. And you get to this point, it's like, why? If you want to kill conspiracy theories, you tell them a little bit of reality. So they're just like, oh, like, yeah, there was an ice cave, but it wasn't actually like a building.
Yeah, I think the thing that comes to mind and the thing that kind of freaks me out. So you drill down into an ancient lake. The thing that concerns me is, so everything down there is cryogenically frozen. What if you pull up like an ancient bacteria or virus that the human immune system has no defenses against? Maybe that's why they shut up. You're drilling, you're bringing something back to life that we have no natural immune function to defend against. And that's the scary part. If it could be part of the reason they shut up, like, oh, crap, we found an ancient virus that's going to kill everybody, or an ancient bacteria that's going to kill everybody.
A lot of people weaponize that, though, to control the world as well. If you could engineer a virus that could selectively kill your enemy, might be a good thing for some countries.
Yeah, but if you drill up a virus or a bacteria that could kill it and you don't know anything about it, and you don't know what the ramifications are, and you don't know what the genetic sequence is, you're just going to kill yourself and everybody else in the process. Yeah, I don't even know how to defend against it.
Unless you have a vault inside of a mountain and you never plan on coming out until the world's better.
Dude, like, I know we're wrapping this up here. There's like a seed vault, I think in like Norway or something.
Yeah.
Another theory is that there's a bunch of seed vaults down in Antarctica in a bunch of, I think we touched on earlier, like the underground bases that set up the elite to write out a global cataclysm, be it financial or any other sort of natural or solar phenomenon.
Think about it, though. If you were going to preserve like the natural kind of progression of society here, what better place to do it? Like, people tried to preserve their life. So I don't know if you remember back in the day, people were like freezing themselves in hopes that somebody would be able to wake them up one day and be able to cure their cancer or whatever.
Dude, you want to talk about fringe, crazy conspiracy theories? Have you ever heard of the conspiracy theory about that movie Frozen, that cartoon character?
No, I haven't.
So have you seen it? If you haven't seen it now, you'll see it obviously when your daughter gets a little older.
Yeah, I got a little girl, so I'll be seeing it soon.
Yeah, it's cute. It's cute. But the conspiracy theory, and this is just outrageous, but it's fun. It's one of those fun conspiracy theories because even if it's true, it's mundane. So Walt Disney apparently is cryogenically frozen. He froze himself because he wants to be reanimated at some point in time in the future where he reverses age and he can come back to life. The reason they named the movie Frozen is because when you Google search Walt Disney Frozen, obviously this movie comes up to the top of their search results, so it buries everything about him being in cryo freeze, virtually non-existent.
Yeah, again, if you're gonna preserve something, you're gonna freeze it. It's the converse of burning it up, when some people believe in burning your body when you die. What's the opposite of that? And yeah, better way to do it.
Yeah, man, Antarctica is such a vast and large topic. I feel borderline exhausted going through the hours and hours of research, and I'm sure we missed plenty. I would love for our viewers and subscribers to let us know what we missed, what we got wrong. And listen, Dave and I love conspiracies. We have a list of stuff we want to go through. But if you have something or you have a story, we want to know. And we're going to get to the point where we're going to start taking guests. And if, you know, you're legit and you have some evidence to back it up, we'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, we'll put it on our show. We'll do segments. We'll talk to you. We'll discuss the theories. It's always important. And I think as we talk about closing tonight, right, Jay? I think ultimately what the viewers want to know is, what do you think about Antarctica? What is it? Why are people covering it up? Why are people hiding it? What is it? What is Antarctica to you?
So I think I've mentioned it a few times, and I'll just wrap it up and put a bow nice and tight on top. I think the reason everyone is in agreement with not claiming it is that I think they found something of an ancient pre-flood civilization. And if that exists, you're going to see the Nephilim, you're going to see the giants, you're going to see probably pretty strange technology that you have no clue that existed. And I think there's a race to possibly get your hands on it when the weather is cooperating. And I think a lot of it has to do with archaeological digging and trying to figure out what's down there.
It's a good point. A continent of ice, but also a continent of secrets. Politicians flying out. Scientists disappear, glaciers bleed red, and hidden lakes whisper of pre-flood worlds. Maybe it's just geology and science, or maybe, just maybe, Antarctica is the closest thing we have to a forbidden zone, a place God left untouched as a reminder that not everything is meant to be uncovered. Keeping our eyes on Christ and living our best lives that we can. It's always fun to play the Indiana Jones narrative, as I like to call it, and discover new findings. But keep your eyes on your family, keep your eyes on your loved ones, keep your eyes on God, because that's what matters most in this life. And somehow, in some way that is unknown to me, we'll eventually connect the dots, whether it's through self-revelation or through God's revelation. And brother, what do you want to leave with our guest tonight?
Yeah, man, I think the same thing I say every week, man. Jesus loves you. We love you. We would love for you to like, subscribe, and comment. We want to enter. We want to build a community around this. And I think the best way to build a community is by interacting. We'd love to hear your ideas. We'd love to hear your criticism. We're always open to that. And if we got, like I said before, if we got something wrong, let us know, man. We're learning too. Conspiracy is such a robust subject, and there are so many minute and macro ideas that, you know, man, we're all here to explore, man. We're here to uncover the truth and find the truth through the noise.
Most important thing, we're all learning. We're all learning every single day, man. Tell us why we're wrong. Tell us why we're right. Subscribe and talk to us. But ultimately, thanks for listening to Zero Signal. More importantly, question everything. Test it against the truth. And never forget, the ends of the earth are closer than we think.
We've hit the 0 hour. That's a wrap on this week's transmission. New episodes drop weekly, so stay tuned and don't miss the next signal. Follow, subscribe, and spread the word. You've been listening to Zero Signal. We're out.